As the children go, also know that Hillary will be practicing with them for a music. Our title is Remaining Steadfast on the Road of Faith. And I think that's really the major emphasis we have to take away from a passage like Mark 13. Because there are many things that are hard to understand, there are many things that are hard to interpret about these kind of end times passages. Book of Revelation is filled with that kind of thing, with the horses of the apocalypse riding through with death and illness and those kinds of things. There are the opening of the seals, and there are all kinds of momentous events that happen in the earth. But as we read Mark 13, just remember this. The Lord Jesus looks at everything from a heavenly perspective. He has come from heaven, he's come into the earth, and he's going to see things that people cannot see because we look at the world present. We look at the physical, we see it with our eyes and ears. We live in the present. But he has an ability to look way into the future. Now, heaven is removed from time and space. We are constrained in time and space, and so that is some of the limits that we have to deal with. Now, time marches on without any retreat. We know that because our birthdays come with regular occurrence every year. And here we are in the year 2022, and we have overcome many predictions of the end, many. I'll tell you more about that later. Now, the Lord describes apocalyptic events in Mark 13, some of which will occur within the lifespan of the disciples, some of which will happen way in the future. No one knows when, but the call of the Lord is to be prepared. He's calling us to diligently walk the way of faith and do the very best of your ability with what is given into your hands to do. To do it well and do it with all your heart. And to remain always ready. Always ready. Please pray with me as we bow our heads in prayer and start to read the passage. Sorry, here, let me advance this slide. Are we on the advancing? Oh, I got to turn it on. Should be in control here. Some comments, prayer. Good. Let us have this prayer of illumination first. Dear Lord, thank you for this passage in Mark 13. Thank you that we can take it up and we can look at the Lord Jesus always and know that he is the one who is ruling and reigning. And Revelation says that he will come riding the white horse, King of kings and Lord of lords, and will finally execute justice. He will sit on the great white throne and judge. But until that day, Lord, help us to have discernment to know where we are at and what you're calling us to do and be in this day and in this time. Deliver to us a message of encouragement that deepens our faith and strengthens our walk with you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's read this passage of Mark 13. The title, actually, as it begins, is The Destruction of the Temple and Signs of the End Times. Now, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." Jesus replies, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" And Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. That's a major, important verse. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. That should leap out and be paramount out of all this passage. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Messiah," or "Look, there he is," do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away till all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves the house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will return or come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Sorry. There we are, the reading of God's word. Like I said, there's a lot in that passage, but I want to help us break it down. Very importantly, Jesus is talking about temple destruction. We'll talk about that in a moment. He says, and the disciples ask, when? And what will be the sign? And that is our own motto. It's right through the Christian church's history. And nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Just think about our own world wars, where Germany fought with the Allies. And in World War I, it was a major war, and it split Europe. There have been many other wars since, the Persian Gulf War, war in the Middle East, nations against nations, Russia, Ukraine, kingdom against kingdom. It's been throughout. If you want to go into world history, you can look at all of that. But he says, allow the Holy Spirit to give you witness and testimony. So that's current. There will be times of difficulty, but we're going to go into this now and break it down. The first thing to note is that the disciples coming out of the temple like what they see. The temple. This is an artist's illustration of the temple. It doesn't stand anymore. But they say this temple is magnificent. It is beautiful. And they say, look at it. It's marvelous. It's a spectacle. And the fact is, Jesus says, not a stone will be left on another. And this is what's left. Whatever temple was there is gone. This is the current Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, they call in Jerusalem. And on top, where that golden dome is, that's a mosque built about 900 AD, many years after the destruction of the temple. But other than that, there's no temple there, even today. All there's left is that remaining wall with large stones, and they say that those stones are huge. To have built them and used them in construction of the temple was a massive undertaking. The whole thing was built by a master builder called Herod. Herod built this place called the Caesarea on the coast, and he built it Greek style with all these kind of buildings and this harbor. And the harbor really maybe is sunken a little bit, but it stands there. It was very useful for hundreds of years. This Caesarea built by Herod was beautiful, and that's like Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem was famous, like we would think of famous buildings today. What is this one? Eiffel Tower in Paris. This one? The Taj Mahal in India. Famous places we know. This hallway, we may not recognize automatically, but it's St. Paul's Cathedral in Rome. If you go inside, it's a marvelous place of great spectacle. And this is the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. All of that. Famous places, like the temple in Jerusalem, which the Lord allowed to be destroyed. Jesus was not impressed by their talking about the beautiful building. He says, this is external. It will all become redundant. The Lord will allow it to be completely dismantled and overthrown. And in 70 AD, that is exactly what happened. The Romans fought the Jewish rebellion. They surrounded the Jews in Jerusalem, and they broke through the walls, and they broke through the temple walls, and they finally burned the building to the ground. They threw every stone down that they could, and it's never been rebuilt. This is all that's left. This is Jerusalem today, the Temple Mount, just the base, and on the top. Jews really don't go to their worship at all, but it's a Muslim place of worship. That's really amazing. But this prophetic insight means that within the generation of the disciples, a cataclysm was going to occur. The prophetic insight came from heaven. Jesus knows that a terrible judgment will fall on him, and it will fall on this temple and Jerusalem. Jesus' judgment was the crucifixion. He died on the cross outside of Jerusalem. On Golgotha. But also there will be a judgment on God's house, the house of God, the temple. War and rebellion are going to break out, and the Roman army will lay siege, and in 70 AD it's all destroyed. It says there in the history books on Tisha B'Av, August 30, Roman forces finally overwhelmed the defenders, set fire to the temple. Resistance continued for another month, but eventually the upper and lower parts of the city were taken as well. The city was burned to the ground. So that occurred. But then there are more signs. There are more things that will happen. The abomination causes desolation, the running away. And ultimately it is apocalyptic, about preparing for the time when the Son of Man will come in the clouds with great power and glory. When will it happen? When? That's the million-dollar question. We are asking ourselves that same question today. When? And what will be the sign? What's the sign of the end? This is preoccupying us, and it does enter into the equation, the conversation, all the time. I don't know if you've ever... 2011, I saw... I'm going to go about the billboard in Sacramento in a moment. One of the signs is persecution of the church, but persecution of the church has continued throughout the ages. We have martyrs from the first centuries. We have martyrs from the middle centuries. In the time of the Reformation, there were many martyrs. There were always going to be persecutions to break out against the church. Even today, this is a symbol of the persecuted church in our world today. And there are many places where there's great pressure on it. When will it happen? What will be the sign? False prophets will come, and Jesus says, warns us against them. This is a billboard that Hillary and I found in Sacramento. We came to live there in March, I think, of 2011. And there it was, the judgment day. It's going to happen May 21st, 2011. Billboard was there. It was shining. It was presented to all of us. The preacher who talked about it on familyradio.com was Harold Camping. Harold Camping was a Sunday school teacher at the Christian Reformed Church in Alameda many years before. But at a certain point, with his teaching, saying he was an excellent Bible teacher. But he ultimately began to develop these strange ideas about the end, and he felt he could calculate the end of time. And the Christian Reformed Church expelled him, told him to leave, and he had bought his own radio station. He was a builder. He had built the church, and he had money enough to buy that radio station and teach people. And his radio program went across the whole country. Throughout America, he sent a bus talking about the end times. His first predictions were in 1994, 1995. They proved false. So he recalculated, then he made it this, and he bought the billboard and put it out there. And I just knew. This was no sign for me. The Holy Spirit was not telling me this was the time. I have a feeling that the Holy Spirit will tell us, and we'll get a sense of when the time will come. But they're going to have to be major events because we just really don't know. It's very hard to discern. He certainly was wrong. He's dead now. He's died. He was very old at that time, and he's passed away. And so Harold Camping didn't predict the end. This was a newspaper in 1843, The End of the World. This is a gentleman named William Miller. He lived in Vermont. He was a farmer, and he had decided he calculated the end of the world's time, and it was going to happen. He predicted in 43, it didn't happen, so he predicted in 44, a date in May, and then I think he predicted a date in September. People in Vermont, New York, and actually across the world, newspapers were beginning to be published all over the United States and in the United Kingdom, and people were reading all about his end time prediction. They sold their homes, they sold farms, they waited on hilltops, and then the night came, the next day came, and world history kept continuing. It's called the Great Disappointment, and it's the root out of which the Seventh-day Adventist Church grows, because they reconstituted and said there's certain things that will still happen in the future, but they're focused on the end times. As I say, it's not exclusive, Seventh-day Adventists or any other Christian part of the body. There are many believers who really were absolutely convinced the rapture was going to happen. It's kind of gone across the United States. Tim LaHaye, they wrote a book. And, you know, the prediction was very clear. It would have happened by the year 2000. Remember, people thought Y2K and the computer bug would crash all the computers. It would be the end then. I remember gathering with other Christians in Montreal and praying through that night, not knowing. I think we should always be ready. We should always know that it might happen. William Miller was sincere in his efforts to say, I know the time. And he was sincerely wrong. And you know, faith families have to continue carrying on. They have to continue to find where they're going to go. And so the million-dollar question still remains out there. When and what will be the sign? I have a whole page full of predictions of the end times here. I found it on the internet. You can find it. It was supposed to happen in 365. A Christian named Hilaire of Poitiers. He was an enthusiastic Christian. Didn't happen. In 1533, Michael Stiefel, a German monk and mathematician, predicted the end. Didn't happen. Martin Luther thought the end was going to happen by, I think he'd calculated 1600 something. Martin Luther was wrong. He was right about a lot of things. He was a beautiful man of God, but he was sincerely mistaken. I have on this list others and other dates, but you can find all kinds of dates. It's amazing. Jesus says very clearly and very carefully in Mark 13, do not be deceived. He says, be careful. Verse 5. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars. The end is still to come, because the gospel needs to be preached to the ends of the world. And everyone who stands firm to the end will be saved. We must trust the Lord no matter what is going on in the world around us. Many people will come to try to deceive you. And there are many different other faiths who have convictions about these things. Even the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons come out of movements that are focused on the end times. And there are people who sincerely believe we are descended from aliens. There was a whole cult focused on the alien origin of human race in Quebec. And they followed various things, and some of them were found having committed a kind of a suicide pact in France, because they became apocalyptic in their thinking. And I have another picture here. Okay, this is deception, the idea of deception. Watch out that you're not deceived. It's the wolf in sheep's clothing. It's a good picture. Watch out, because things will happen, and they will not. The gospel will need to be preached to the ends of the world. I have this picture because it's the wonderful idea of TWR, Trans World Radio, set up transmitters and preach the gospel through the airwaves and span the whole world. And Michael Lambert spends a lot of time tuning the antennas so that they broadcast to all of Asia and all the way even to Ukraine. Wycliffe continues to translate languages to be able to translate the Bible into languages that have never heard, never had the gospel, to the ends of the world. I don't know. And then wars and rumors of wars, the Lord says. Look at this. A war for Taiwan is brewing. We are saying maybe it'll happen. China talks about it, wants to take control. They took control of Hong Kong. Taking control of Taiwan was top of their list. So it's possible. These things are all possible. But he says, be careful that you're not deceived. Here's a man named David Koresh. He started leading a group in Waco, Texas, and he changed his name from Vernon to David Koresh. David after King David, and Koresh after Cyrus. So he was the new Davidic king, Cyrus, who was going to bring some salvation to his people. He brought doom to his people. There was a terrible attack and fight between their compound with high-powered weapons versus the federal forces which came, and then the whole building went up in flames. It was a terrible end in Waco, Texas, and David Koresh died there. But he believed and he taught his people that he was the Messiah who had returned. And there have been, again, many false messiahs. If you take that subject, go on, take a Google search, you can find a whole list of false messiahs throughout history. He's just one among many. And Jesus says they're going to come, they're going to try to deceive you, but do not be deceived. We are vulnerable as ever to deception, but we are Christians who love the Lord. That's the thing we must keep central. And Jesus promises to be our Savior and our Shepherd as we proclaim the gospel and plant churches and grow the church and send missionaries to places where they're needed. And we seek to look for revival wherever it can be found. And we should be praying earnestly for Japan, one of the most unreached people places in the world. But it's amazing what has happened with the church in China. China's had a flourishing of the church, a growth, an exponential growth of the church. So we must have faith and trust. The question always comes up, who is the Antichrist? And people will say it's this one or it's that one, but But really, in the end, as far as I'm concerned as a Christian pastor, it's someone who's able to assemble a power around the world and bring about perhaps attempt to try to do something in Jerusalem in the physical place, and someone who will be anti the church, but will seem like an angel. Like, as they say, angels will pose. The devil likes to appear in light, but is actually like the wolf in the sheep's skin, coming as a false Messiah, as a false Savior. They're not true. They're not real. You know, these signs. What is the sign? Well, in verse 24, he says, in those days, the sun will be darkened. Anybody know that what happened when Tonga earthquake occurred? If you were in Tonga, you were in darkness. If you have lived through burning, the burning oil fields of Iraq in the Iraq War created, obscured the sun. I'll show you some other pictures of destruction in cities, and I'm sure when they were burning and being bombed, the sun was blocked out. The moon will not give its light. There was an eclipse of the moon this past week. Anybody watch it? I know some people. Peter took beautiful pictures of the blood moon. Is that the sign, Peter? We don't know. It is something happening in the heavens. But does anybody realize there was a very major earthquake in Nepal this past week? Nepal. Two people died. Some buildings were destroyed. We probably don't even know. Doesn't appear in our news. Hillary's going to give me a glass of water. Thank you, Hillary. Earthquakes are just around us all the time. The prediction of the end times is a preoccupation throughout the history of the church. And as I was talking about, various people predict it. But if we just look at the subject of earthquakes, Tonga not only had the big volcanic eruption, it just had a 7.1 earthquake this past week. It affected that whole area. Thank you, Hillary. And, you know, you can overlook it. In the past year, 365 days, Guam has had 57 earthquakes. Do you know that? One of them broke our water line, cost us a lot of money. The church. The largest earthquake in Guam this week was 4.5 in Agat Village. And this month, 5.1 in Maritzo Village. And this year, 5.7 also in Maritzo Village. And the largest earthquakes ever recorded in Chile in 1960, a magnitude 9.5. In Prince William Sound in Alaska, 1964, magnitude 9.2. In Sumatra, Indonesia, 26 December 2004, caused a major tsunami, magnitude 9.1. In Sendai, Japan, 11th March 2011, a magnitude 9, caused a terrible Fukushima nuclear disaster as well. Kamchatka, Russia, 4th November 1952, a magnitude 9. I'm afraid that's all in our neighborhood. And in the Ring of Fire, if you look at the Pacific, they're all around related to the Pacific. But you can hear, through time, these things are occurring, but we still haven't found the end. Jesus says it's going to be a terrible and dreadful day, that pregnant women should run, get to the hills, escape. This is a picture of Rotterdam in the Netherlands in 1935, a thriving, bustling city downtown center. This is the picture of Rotterdam after the German attack in May 1941. They firebombed the city. They terrorized the nation. The Netherlands capitulated shortly after because the Germans said, we'll do this to every other city. We'll just go city by city. This is Warsaw in 1935, bustling city. Warsaw endured attacks by the Germans, attacks by the Russians. This is what was left after the war of Warsaw, destroyed. This city bombed to smithereens. Could have been a picture of Berlin. It could have been a picture of many other Stalingrad, Leningrad. Do not be caught in those events. May the Lord save you from them. this event, the Twin Towers. And then they're attacked, they're burning, they eventually collapse. The sun was blocked out that day in 2001, 9/11, and it was horrible. It was a horrible event. Anybody coming out of that, it was all covered in ash. You can see that. If you were landing on a beach during D-Day, you would have felt like it was the end of the world. If you were experiencing the meltdown of Chernobyl nuclear power plant, you would have felt like it was maybe the end of the world. If you were suffering from the effects of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, if you were in the siege of Jerusalem, and there are so many examples throughout time and history. What does it mean? Where does it leave us? What do we say? Are you ready? That is really what the conclusion of my message is today, because that's what Jesus says. He says about the day and the hour no one knows. Only the Father knows. It is a time set by our Father in heaven, a remarkable part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus says it is shrouded in mystery. But he just says, he calls us, we must be ready. Ready to go to heaven. Either to die and be translated, you know, by the Lord Jesus who takes us home. Or ready when Jesus returns. When he brings heaven to earth. We do not even know when our own end will come. And it can come suddenly. And we know that. We've had some deaths in this congregation. The sudden onslaught of death. We do not know how many days our planet Earth has. But he says to us, watch. While we have life to live, live it to the fullest. Live it as faithfully as we can. Live it because Jesus brought to give us life abundantly. Live it growing in the grace and mercy of God. And deepen your love for God and our love for each other all the time. But watch, the watchtower. Get up in that watchtower. Know that you need to keep your eyes peeled. Put the binoculars on and start looking. Discernment. We pray for God's discernment. We pray for God's peace. Pray for the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit to lead us. Amen. Amen. Let us be ready. Dear Lord, we ask you to help us in following you. We ask you to help us to see you as our Messiah and our Lord. Help us to know you as the Lord of all, the Lord of glory. We thank you, Lord, that we can be in the center of your will, trusting you for the beginning and the end. And we ask that you may give us assurance and comfort in your strength and power, that when the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there. We pray, Lord, that we may be able to respond with worship in our hearts, lifting our praises to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.